Okay, could we please come to order? Hello? The meeting is being called to order. Hello? Can the meeting be called to order? This is August 22nd, 2015, KPFA LSB meeting. Okay. The agenda. Margie? That's okay. You're being gracious. Roll call. Craig.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Down the list, Alderson, I'm here, I think. Browning? Browning is not here. Bernstein? Bernstein is not here. Edwards Tickert?
Here.
Edwards Tickert is here. Fuentes? Fuentes is not here. He's on his way. Gans?
Present.
Gans is here. Goldmacher? Goldmacher is not here. Goen? Goen is not here. Hernandez?
Here.
Hernandez is here. Johnson?
Here.
Johnson is here. Coburn?
Here.
Coburn is here. Kurzweil?
Here.
Kurzweil is here. Landau?
Here.
Landau is here. Moore?
Present.
Moore is here. Morgan? Morgan is not here. Pritchett?
Present.
Okay. Pritchett?
Yes.
Pritchett is here. Sawyer?
Here.
Sawyer is here. Sterling? Sterling is not here. Tanaka?
Here. Sterling is coming, by the way.
Tanaka is here.
Browning is coming.
Hey, Borg.
Town Nichols?
He's, he can't make it.
Okay. Town Nichols is not here. Travis?
Here.
Travis is here. Whipperman?
Yeah.
Is here. White? White is not here.
He explains that he is unable to get here because he normally drives down and Highway 5 is closed in better places because of the fires.
Okay.
He called me yesterday.
All right, yeah, there we go.
Okay.
It's okay, they just called you.
Okay, Wilkinson?
I'm here.
Wilkinson is here. Withers?
I'm here.
Withers is here. Let's see, and I'll note that Frank Sterling is here. Let me find him on the list. Okay. And Jose Luis Fuentes is here. Okay, so that's 18. We have a quorum, and I move that we excuse all absent members.
Second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Point of information.
Yeah.
So the general manager is an ex officio member of this body, and I'm wondering why we don't include him in the roll call, at least for the body. I mean, other stations do that. So can we maybe start doing that? So can you do it today? Would you?
It's noted for the record. He's here. Okay. The agenda. Everybody's got an agenda in front of them. Do I have a motion to accept the agenda? Okay.
I have an amendment to propose.
Andrea?
I would like to propose that we move the under new business KPFA Foundation, I propose that we move that to right after the PMB report to 11A.
And for 10 minutes is here. Okay. So it's moved,
an advisory
it's moved
time.
And, it moved and seconded. All in favor.
Can I motivate that?
Pardon?
Can we discuss it? Should
sure.
I?
Sure.
Is there any objection? Let's check that.
There you go.
There's no objection.
Go for it.
Okay. So all in favor, please signify by saying aye. Let's pass
aye.
Without objection. Okay. All right. So it is 11A, correct?
11A, yes.
All right. Oh, dead pen. 11A. All right. This goes up. All right, Janet.
Yes, I move that item 15D, cab nominations, et cetera, be moved up to after 13, cab report.
Any objection? Okay, without objection. Any other amendments? Margie?
I'm not sure we need to have an executive session. Certainly, my motion around the question of the GM evaluation should not be in executive session. It's about procedure, and I don't know that the.
Why don't we see if it's taken up, if the second part is taken up in the general manager's report or not?
And okay.
Let it stand, and if it's. If all the questions aren't answered, my
motion on the GM evaluation process should just be standalone, and I don't know that it. Anyway,
you want to put it right after the general manager's report.
Sure.
7A.
Sure.
All right. Since we're doing a lot of that.
Right.
Can we do that by agreement? No, we can't. Janet has something to say on that. You're speaking on that? Are you speaking on that?
Just the GM evaluation or the whole thing?
On the GM evaluation. Oh. No. Okay. So we're moving the GM evaluation up to...
Sorry.
Yes?
I'm going to object.
You have to have the microphone.
I'm sorry. I agree it should be in public session. I just object to loading anything else in front of the budget. We're already behind schedule, and we got to make sure we get to that.
Okay, so she's removing it. Okay. All right. And
in public.
Okay, so that part will be in public. And right after the PNB report, right? Okay. And Janet now wants to speak.
Well, I'm not sure whether I understood what Margie was saying about not having an executive session or just not having that in the executive session. Okay. I'm fine.
I think what we're determining is, what I was saying is that if all the questions around the general manager's report are answered in the general manager's report, including stuff that our policy issues that may be discussed publicly regarding issues in the director's report, that they can be discussed publicly. And so that if they get taken care of at that point, then the executive session will evaporate because it will be taken care of. If they haven't, then and you feel something is, then it will stand. We got it? Okay. All those in favor of the agenda as amended, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Minutes.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I move approval of the minutes of May 9th, 2015.
Second. Okay. Mark.
Excuse me. I do not appear in either the present or absent in the minutes.
He's a great postmodern.
So my existentialism is in question at this point.
I'm sorry. Say your question again is what?
I mean, neither the present nor the absent columns.
Sure, right. Okay. Margie, you took the minutes. Do you recall what?
Well,
Mark, were you here at that meeting?
I do not believe I was.
All I can say is that I'll take Mark's word for it. I didn't say he was there. I'd like to point that out. So,
okay.
And let me say that we can't depend. Let me just finish. We can't depend on the recording for this because the audio doesn't start until later. Okay. Pardon me.
All right.
I move to add Mark Hernandez to the list of absent members.
Second.
All right. So all in favor of that amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Janet.
Yes. Under the general manager's report, I move that we add was read by Barbara Whipperman as the general manager was not present at the meeting. Oh, then by Margie Wilkinson as the general manager was not present at the meeting.
Know the habit around here because we haven't done a lot of this previously. Are we taking each correction at a time and voting on them? All right. All those in favor of that correction, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Frank.
I remember at the last meeting that we made some sort of motion to continue the conversation we were having right at the very end. I think it was about the live streaming or something, but I would just move to pass on that until next meeting. I believe it was, I'm not sure what the motion.
Point of order?
Wait a minute. Are you making a correction to the minutes?
Oh, yeah, I was already, the agenda's over. All right, sorry.
Okay.
But I noticed that's not on there.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Bring it up at another moment.
Any other corrections to the minutes? Additions or corrections?
Can I just?
Janet.
Just want to make note that these are the May minutes, not last month's.
Okay.
Oh, that's what you're looking for.
All right. All in favor of the minutes as amended and corrected, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Minutes are approved. Announcements.
Can I just say something? So I apologize. I don't have the minutes from last meeting. I'll try to get them together for the next meeting as well as January's. I still owe the board January's. But I'm asking anybody who took minutes during the meetings I was absent, if they could be sure to forward them to me. I've been requested by the auditors to provide sets of minutes for, you know, for the board, and I'd like to make sure those are complete. So anybody who took minutes, be sure to send me an electronic copy. Thanks.
Question, for which meetings? Or if you send out a list of which meetings?
I don't, anything since January. Anybody who took minutes since January should know who these people are. If you took minutes, send the minutes to me.
Okay, thank you. We note that Virginia Browning has arrived, that Don Goldmacher has arrived. Anybody else arrived? Frank was listed. It was noted. All right. Jose Luis Fuentes arrived. Okay. Announcements. Frank.
The current group of KPFA apprentices is going to be graduating next Saturday evening at Live Oak Park Community Center. I believe it's at 6 o'clock, and that includes Vilma V, Sarah Blanco, Greg Jackson, Felicia Bridges, and CJ Walling. We just call her CJ. So they've been here. And what? And there'll be some food from local businesses and stuff. That's 5 p.m. Saturday, apprenticeship graduation, 6 p.m. Saturday. This coming next Saturday, the 29th, at Live Oak Park Community Center, and there'll be food and
dancing.
Some dancing.
That's why I'm going.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Any other announcements? Seeing none. Public comments. I don't have the sheet. Has anybody signed up for public comments? Okay.
I'll bring it up.
Kathy Horsley, Outreach Committee.
simply to say that the Outreach Committee will be meeting this coming Monday at 4 p.m. in the station, and this particular meeting is intended to brainstorm around various ways for us to do outreach. We don't want to be limited to the author events. That's, you know, we're there with the chorus usually at those events. So if you all have ideas, if you have friends, neighbors who speak about wanting to be active with the station, tell them about this meeting and we'll welcome them.
Great.
Sorry?
When?
Monday, 24th, 4 p.m. at the station.
Thank you.
David is on the... Daniel, were you on the list?
Yes.
Daniel.
I'm Daniel Borgstrom. And I think we've all seen this thing that came to light that Marty Wilkinson and Dan Siegel filed a thing about the Pacifica Foundation. Apparently, well, I think we all know the implications of this, but consider, and whatever this may be, I've been watching this for, had a ringside seat here for like 10 years watching this. And Dan Siegel, who is part of that, and this thing they did was in secret, characteristically. And here watching this, I just think of one thing. I remember a budget meeting back in September 2005, and I was just looking at a report from that, a minority report, that this was, that KPFA was living beyond its means. It was doing okay that year. Yes, it was okay. But there was a big warning that this was not, the okayness was not going to continue, that things were going to slide downhill. There were bad times were coming. And, of course, that happened. We've seen that over a period of 10 years. I'm saying that the same person, one of those same persons who made this, created this foundation or this legal thing to apparently to take over Pacifica, was part of this downhill slide. I mean, I don't... And... So what is going on? I mean, I'm sure that if asked, he could give all beautiful answers. I mean, he's good at that. But I've seen this downhill slide of which he was part of, a downhill slide which was predicted, and now this. Thank you.
No one else is listed. Who is this? Please announce yourself. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, my name is Rich Stone, and I am a nominee for the Community Advisory Board, and I'm just come here today that I have been an avid listener of and supporter of KPFA since like 1997 or 1998 of and in my life, I've since like 2001, I've worked with both the San Francisco and the California Green Party, and presently I'm on the county council, for the San Francisco city and county, have been since 2008, and also serving as the coordinator for the campaign candidates and working group, amongst other your committee work that I do on the state level, and in addition, I've been a labor council delegate for the San Francisco Labor Council, and it's a combination of all this work and also with the just the plight of your public radio in general that my passion and love for the station, which is actually bought me to want to serve the community advisory board, and I would really appreciate every you know each and every one of your support and in what would be my potential your appointment to the community advisory board. So I'll just keep it short and leave it at that. Thank you very much.
Say your name again.
Richard Stone.
Thank you. Okay. I see no more public comments. All right. We are now at the general manager's report. Quincy McCoy. Or here you could have this one. Here, you want this one? Here, David. Okay,
Okay. Well, the general manager's report this time is the budget. And Maria had to go make copies. So do you guys want to just skip by us until she shows up so we can pass out the budget? Or is there any other business that you want?
Point of information. I'm not sure. The budget is in a separate agenda item. Is that? So to speak about, can you speak about it then? And okay, sure.
Well, can we? Maybe we should combine.
So, any other things?
Maybe,
Madam Chair.
Madam Chair.
I move to suspend the rules in order to take up the PNB report. Out of order.
Moved and seconded. Is there any objection? See none. Let's do the PNB report. Okay, who's giving up? Janet. Okay, Janet's doing it.
Okay, I can report about the August 6th PNB meeting. 7 proposed bylaws amendments were noticed on July 31st. The proposed bylaws amendments process timeline was revised at that meeting to accommodate the required on-air announcements. The PNB, at this point, the PNB will vote on the bylaws amendments on September 24th, which means that the LSB delegate assemblies would have until November 22nd to approve whatever the PNB approves. And hopefully that will not be changed. This was one change that took place already on that. The ED gave a report during that meeting, the August 6th meeting. He asked the interim controller, Efren Larinas, to give a report on the condition of the finances. Efren reported that the PNB funds are very low and they do not have funds. Right, Pacifica National Office, that's PNO, thank you. And at that time, they did not have funds for 1 month's operations. And collectibles came to almost $450,000 from all stations. So there was grave, it was, you know, it didn't, serious situation. The national office also pays for health care for all stations except KPFA pays ahead of time. And fund drives are not going well to cover their collectibles. There's a need for there's a need for 3 months' reserves to pay salaries. That's what was recommended. And anyway, so that was reported. Then the PNB chair, Lydia Brazan, asked the ED if we will have enough money to pay for postage for the election ballots to be sent out. And I just want to note that the National Election Supervisor was not present at the meeting. The ED responded that given the money, that the money is needed to be paid up front for the August 29th ballot mailing, that was the on the election calendar, that there's not enough money to do that. There was a proposal to, and so the how to resolve this, it's basically up to the National Election Supervisor. There was a proposal to delay the mailing of the ballots to October 15th, but that didn't go anywhere. It wasn't voted on. It wasn't discussed. It was just a proposal to ask the NES to consider that. There was a motion for the ED to investigate the KPFA Foundation. That motion failed. And also, the ED, John Prophet, is on vacation. He was leaving on vacation as of August, or he left on vacation as of August 14th, last Friday. Is it last Friday? The Friday before last? Anyway, and will be returning on September 8th. So he's away, far away, for your information. And then I'll just follow up at this point, about the elections. There was an election committee meeting on August 13th, and the NES was there, and she had not been aware of this monetary situation about the ballots not being mailed out. And that day was the deadline to actually get them to the mailhouse, and they didn't go to the mailhouse. And so she said that she would be deciding on what to do about the situation, which there are different proposals out there. What she's going to end up doing, not clear. And then finally, I'll just say that the Personnel Committee is doing a search for a CFO, working very hard to make that happen as soon as possible. I'm done for now.
Any additions? Margie, Brian, Margie.
I just have a question. Have the minutes from the in-person meeting in June been sent out yet? I'm sorry. I was looking for them.
Preliminary minutes were sent out, minutes that John Gary had put together early on, pretty much right after. Yeah. I forwarded them. Anyway, all right.
Brian, did you have anything to add?
It's very thorough. On the Finance Committee, we're starting to go over budgets from the stations, and it looks pretty ugly.
Okay. All right. Andrea.
I just wanted to ask a question about the, apparently the KPFA Foundation was discussed at the PMB level, and I'm just curious if they asked for any documents or what the level of fact-finding at the PMB level was before that motion to investigate was not sustained or was not approved.
Janet.
Well, the motion was to request that the ED do an investigation about it. So there wasn't any real, as far as I can remember, any information or discussion about particular things. That some people might have said, oh, what about this? Nothing formal was done.
Okay, it seems that deals with the PNB report. We had moved up, although we had seen that as after the budget at that time, but Maria's not here, a discussion of the KPFA Foundation. So since Maria's not back, why don't we do that?
I'm trying to turn it off, y'all, sorry.
Andrea. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm sorry. I thought you had already. I don't know enough about it. But it feels like the disclosures, there's been some public disclosures about the existence of a foundation or paperwork. It has been said that Margie Wilkerson's name is one of the names on it. Dan Siegel's, I guess, is the other. And I guess we would like, I would hope everybody here would be very curious about a foundation that is taking our name or whatever. I'd like to learn more about it because I don't know enough about it. But I do know that its existence has caused a lot of consternation within the KPFA community. And I think our ability to openly discuss it and deal with people's, allay people's concerns, if we're able to, or to deal responsibly with it, I think that would be super helpful. So I'd like to ask Margie to share whatever she knows about it. And I would like us all to kind of think about what would it take to really unearth this and have an open discussion about what it might mean.
Margie.
Okay. Let me start by asking whether or not people have seen the responses that Dan Siegel sent. I did not share those. They were sent to the PMB, but they were not forwarded to the LSB. Okay. So Dan Siegel responded at some length about this. Let me say that the KPFA Foundation was established in September of 2013. At that time, it appeared that there was a good chance the Pacifica would collapse into bankruptcy due to poor management. The purpose was to provide an option to keep KPFA, to provide a nonprofit to for KPFA to land in. All we did, the only thing we was done, was that we filed papers with the Secretary of State. I don't see that as exactly a clandestine move. It was very public, but in any event. And nothing further was done. Within 6 weeks after the filing of those papers, we had a PMB meeting in Houston where Summer Reese was chosen by a single vote to be the executive director. Those of us participated, those of us on the other side, I would say, participated fully in the developing an offer letter. We welcomed her with as much, graciously. We didn't complain about the process. And then within 4 months after that, the board voted to terminate her. The effort after that, you will all recall that I became the interim executive director, and I, worked very, very hard to keep the foundation in place. The purpose of the KPFA Foundation was simply to be there in case it was needed, and it was never perfected. It was never followed through on. No further documents were ever filed. No bylaws were ever registered. There's a big, long process that would have had to have gone through, which would have had to involve this LSB and many individuals in order to make it a reality. And so I feel like I get to stand on my record and say that everything that I have done in the last year and a half, has shown that I am totally devoted to the foundation and to maintaining the integrity of the network. And I have never have had any intention of taking KPFA out of the network. That was not what we were doing.
You just said to the foundation, your sentence said, I've been totally devoted to the foundation.
To the Pacifica Foundation.
Okay, I just thought if you wanted that to be
I'm
clear.
I'm sorry. Yeah, to the Pacifica Foundation.
I mean,
Foundation.
You don't want
Thank
that,
you.
Like, rolling out there.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Janet. Margie, Janet.
Oh, sorry.
Janet.
Okay, so it appears that in the Articles of Incorporation of the KPFA Foundation, the Pacifica Foundation Articles of Incorporation were used, one. Two, it seems like it's still active, so I'm not sure why is it still active? Why shouldn't it be just deactivated? And I'm also curious about whether other people on this LSB knew about this filing.
Brian.
I have a motion, Madam Chair.
Okay.
And if I get a second, I'll then explain the reasoning behind it.
Okay.
The KPFA Local Station Board, being the elected representatives of KPFA's listeners and staff, hereby ratifies the creation of the KPFA Foundation for the purposes of continuing the work of KPFA's and the Pacifica Foundation's mission in the event that Pacifica is dissolved due to circumstances beyond its control.
Okay, so now you wanted to motivate it? You're sending it over?
Yeah, I think the creation of this foundation was incredibly prudent. In 2013, the year in which these papers were filed, Pacifica ran a $2.8 million deficit. The National Board was getting no financial statements from the management it had in place at the time. Pacifica was stacking up piles of unpaid bills that turned into lawsuits over lack of payment. Within the course of a few months. And the bottom line for Pacifica is that the biggest asset we control is basically ours on loan. It's licenses from the FCC to operate our radio stations that can be withdrawn at any time. I think every station should have a nonprofit structured around the principles of Pacifica's mission that if we are forced into bankruptcy, if we are forcibly dissolved by an entity like the Attorney General's office, which some members of the factional warfare in Pacifica seem to be intent to force us into, that there be an entity that can stand and claim to speak on behalf of the original mission and catch those licenses before they get snapped up by Clear Channel or Cumulus or someone who's going to use them to put Rush Limbaugh on the air.
Wow. Jose Luis.
Point of information, is it seconded?
Yes, Jose Luis seconded. That's why it was moved. Oh, okay. Joy, the reason I skipped you is now we're on a new thing because it's on the motion. If you want to be on the list, I will happily put you there.
Okay, no, I don't want to talk to the motion.
Okay, I have Jose Luis, Virginia, Frank, Andrea.
You know, I support this motion because the Articles of Incorporation of Pacifica Foundation, who our founder, Lewis Hill, filed, has under Article 8 of the Articles of Incorporation that all the property of this nonprofit, whether presently owned or held hereafter acquired, is irrevocably dedicated only to charitable purposes and to the purpose of operating one or more non-commercial educational FM broadcasting stations or one or more educational television stations as defined in Section 225.5 of the California and Taxation Code. And upon liquidation, dissolution or abandonment of this corporation, none of its property shall inure to the benefit of any individual private person, but all such property shall be distributed to a fund, foundation, or corporation organized and operated for charitable purposes or for operating one or more non-commercial educational FM broadcast stations or one or more educational television stations aforesaid, and whose property is irrevocably dedicated only to the exempt purposes specified in Section 214 of the California Revenue and Tax Code. So this foundation that's been set up is to put into effect Article 8 of our Articles of Incorporation for Pacifica Radio, that should there be a dissolution, there will be a corporation or a foundation to capture this foundation in our licenses.
Virginia.
A lot of people have been concerned about the possibility of bankruptcy for Pacifica. Some of us have signed this thing that's called a pledge, which name I don't particularly like, although I signed it. And the difference between that and this, one difference, is that the purpose of that is to get as many people discussing and interacting and trying to understand it as possible, whereas this was done in private, apparently. And okay, sure, Dan Siegel can say it's a public filing, but who would know to look for it unless they happened upon it? As far as it being a public charitable foundation, well, any church radio station can qualify for something like that. And many so-called community radio stations all over the country right now have been snapped up by other so-called charitable foundations and diluted in radicalism so that there's almost nothing left there's very little left in the public radio station world of really radical radio anymore. So what bothers me about this was that it was done and also the characterization of some of the things about one vote and dissolution of, you know, the disarray of the finances. Well, the disarray of the finances is very bad right now, and the one vote, if you're going to be political about it, it was one vote or less than one vote, depending on your point of view, that put Margie in to that same position. So that, you know, the political characterizations that happen to justify these things bother me too.
Frank?
I'll try to keep it to the motion about ratifying this KPFA Foundation. I'm just curious, like, who did, I think Janet asked a question earlier, how about people who knew about it before it happened, raise their hand? Anybody? Anybody that knew about the KPFA Foundation before it happened, would you let us know? I'm just curious, is it that much of a secret that, I think this is the issue here, because if it was so important and it was so involving and it was so open, why does a whole bunch of people not know about it? And I think that's part of the problem here. And also, we talked, people on the board and people involved in this have talked about the dissolving of the network in times and setting up this, I would say, secret, sneaky move, whether you think it's that way or not. When people on the board don't know about it and it's not openly discussed, it's sneaky, it's underhanded, and it's suspicious. And especially the people that have been working on this have been the ones talking about the dissolution or the Darwinism or whatever they call it of the network. And it just so seems that it's set up to their address. And some people might question some of the decisions that they have made in their positions that have put Pacifica in some dire positions at times. And so the same people that make the decisions that affect the Pacifica network and whether it will be thriving and surviving or whether it will be going downhill, the people that are making certain decisions are the ones that set up this thing to catch it if it fails. And some might decide whether, or some might wonder if they have been making decisions to have it fail to be ready to catch it, you know? And if it was such an open process, why can't we just have an open discussion about it until now that it comes out?
We're having
out
an open discussion right now. And
but
people
now
are not
that it comes out, no one knew about it. And now that we've come to light, we're having a conversation. But why could we not have this conversation in the beginning when people were deciding to put this up? If it concerns us all, concerns Pacifica, it concerns us too. And so I think when you do these underhanded, sneaky things without letting other people know, it only leaves people open to suspicion and to speculate. And the way you don't speculate and assume things is you communicate with each other and you let them know, you know, this is why we're doing this. Pacifica's in bad shape. We might want to be ready just in case something happens.
Do we have a two-minute limit or a three-minute limit?
Better start it up. Anyways, so when people make these decisions that are on boards that could have a great effect whether we thrive and survive or whether we spiral downhill, and then they have this alternative foundation set up, It only leads people to suspicion. And I just say that if it was such a great thing, such something that we needed, why wasn't there an open discussion before it happened? And I'll just leave it there. I feel like we need this open discussion beforehand, not after someone discovers the secret, which it was.
All right, we have 10 minutes have passed. It has been allotted for 10 minutes. I just want to say that I'm being very open here about what people can talk about. People are supposed to be talking to the motion about whether or not we are going, the LSB is going to support now as a I'm sorry, in circumstances of dissolving the existence of a foundation dedicated to the original mission. That is the subject of that people are to be speaking to.
You want some water? You want some water, dear?
Thank you.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I got some. All right.
No. So I'm going to be loose. Thank you, dear. About it, but that's actually what the subject is. Yes. Andrea.
Madam Chair, I definitely want to vote against this proposal, and here's why. Number one, I agree that the secrecy, if this foundation was started in 2013, I would like to see any evidence of the public discussion of this creation, because what you're suggesting is a strategy for how to deal with the financial situation. That should be an open conversation. That should happen in a public forum. And if it hasn't, I don't understand. It feels very disingenuous to today in 2015 say that you want to ratify something that if it was going to be brought into existence should have been ratified 2 years ago. I also am curious, I feel like we're being bullied by the majority, and here's why. Because we don't have the documents. How can we make any kind of a intelligent, educated decision on whether or not this is in fact a prudent strategy if we don't have the benefit of the documents that would establish such a foundation? Why don't we have access to that information? And how does the creation of this, I don't understand terms like to capture it, to catch it. What are the financial implications, and what is the relationship to our license? And I'm actually unclear. Do we have corporate counsel at the PMB level? And what is our corporate counsel advising about this as a financial strategy? I'm also curious, as I heard a rumor that Dan Siegel, his law office, was listed as the address of this so-called foundation. I don't know if that's true. It seems like people at this table could confirm or deny whether or not that's true. But for us to go ahead, it is the height of contempt for the so-called democracy of KPFA and within Pacifica to go ahead and ramrod this proposal through when you do not even give the members at this circle, at this table, the benefit of a little background discussion and a little understanding of what this means. If you're saying that this is the KPFA Foundation, by God, we sit here on the local station board. And we bear some responsibility for that strategy. I would like to go in with some understanding of it. And thus, I would like to make a substitute motion. I would like to offer my colleagues here at the table the opportunity to educate all of us about the history of this foundation and your thinking about the strategy of what it means. So please, can we table this motion? And can we ask Margie to help us gather the documentation that would help us to understand how this strategy fits into the larger context of Pacifica.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay.
Point of order.
Yes. It sounds to me like the motion is motion
to table.
Table and use the interim time to gather documents.
That's out of order.
That's okay.
So,
you can say table
or not. The motion to table. Okay.
What happens in between?
Pardon?
Is
that? Not debatable. Not debatable. Okay. All in favor?
Would I like to speak for a second time on this?
No, it's not debatable.
This is just her
okay.
table.
Okay.
Roll call, please.
Roll call vote.
I object.
Who cares?
I object to a roll
I'm
call
tabling.
Vote. I object to a roll call vote. Under Robert's Rules of Order. It's a time waster.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm going to rule as chair that we're going to have a roll call vote. Okay. Go ahead.
What isn't a vote?
It's only done when you can't tell there's a vote.
Is there anything we do? Yeah.
Okay. So this is a motion to table it until when?
Just
motion to table?
Yeah.
Okay, motion to table. okay, so Alderson, I will vote no. Browning?
I vote yes.
Browning, yes. Bernstein, not here. Edwards-Tiegert?
Abstain.
Edwards-Tiegert abstain. Fuentes?
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
Fuentes, no. Gans?
No.
Gans, no. Goldmacher?
No.
Goldmacher, no. Gowen, not here. Hernandez?
No.
Hernandez, no. Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson, yes. Coburn?
Yes.
Coburn, yes. Kurzweil?
No.
Kurzweil, no. Landau?
Yes.
Landau, yes. Moore?
Yes.
Moore, yes. Morgan, not here. Pritchett?
Yes.
Pritchett, yes. Sawyer?
No.
Sawyer, no. Sterling?
Yes.
Sterling, yes. Tanaka? Tanaka abstain. I have Hale Nichols, not here. Travis? Come back.
I abstain.
Okay. Travis abstains. Whipperman?
No.
Whipperman, no. White, not here. Wilkinson?
Abstain.
Wilkinson abstain. Which? Withers? Withers. Withers, no. So that's 9 no, 7 yes. 4 abstentions.
Wow, we got closer than we ever did. Can we go back to motivated?
I'd like to speak a second time.
Okay, so now we're back to the list. You're on the list, Frank, a second time. Let's see.
I haven't spoken.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
I was on the list.
Wait a second. So we are now back on Brian's motion.
Yes.
Okay. And the last person to speak was Andrea. Janet.
Yes, so, right, so we're supposed to vote to ratify the existence of this foundation. We do not have the papers, so what would people be ratifying, really? And also, in terms of capturing the license, I'm assuming it would be just the KPFA license or all the licenses, I'm not sure. But I think there's no control. I mean, the FCC would get involved, and so there's no real control over who would get licenses in the situation of a dissolution or bankruptcy or whatever. And then, as far as I know, none of the other stations have come up with this kind of thing. I mean, I don't think they knew that this was happening. And this should be something that all the stations, this should be a national level kind of decision or approach or strategy.
I'm leaving here at 2 o'clock.
And it should be stationwide, not just KPFA. So I will vote against this motion.
David?
I just want to note for the record that Margie's name is Wilkinson, not Wilkerson. Thank you.
Joy?
I want to bring us all back to the mission and try to ask everyone to value transparency. When I hear that Margie felt that it wasn't a clandestine thing, yet there was no announcement at the LSB, or most people didn't know about it, so there was some clandestine somewhere. Second, I believe I'm feeling like Abraham Lincoln right now. We have a union. It's called Pacifica Foundation. And there's many members in the family. We're not happy with all of them, but we don't have, I think, the public's interest at heart if we say we're going to just protect KPFA. KPFA is a wonderful, valuable institution, don't get me wrong, but it's part of a larger family. And so I want us to be honest about this and transparent about this, and I urge us not to vote on it today for the other reasons that have already been stated. We don't have enough information. I believe it was a private individual decision to do this was not a public decision. You're representing the public, and you made a private decision to start a corporation that is at odds with our mission. So I just want y'all all to consider it. I think it's ill-advised, and it doesn't speak to the mission of what we're supposed to be doing. And to be honest, there is no KPFA license. There is no KPFK license. It's only Pacifica Foundation. So I just want to make sure everybody understands that. So I think we should protect Pacifica at all costs. And if this was such a good idea, it would have come out before now.
Jack.
Turn it on. Okay. So I would like to talk for a moment about actual reality. This has been a divided board with a lot of factionalism and a lot of suspicion. And I understand the suspicion coming from the side that I am not on. But I would like to say something about my suspicions. From my point of view, the foundation that has been lurking in the background, never mentioned, never talked about, has been Media Alliance. That, from the way I see it, has been sitting there waiting to take the license of KPFA in the event of the bankruptcy and dissolution of the Pacifica Foundation. That's what I see. And I think that there is ample reason, given the behavior of Media Alliance and people associated with Media Alliance, to suspect just that kind of intent. So, in great part, in my view, although it may not be in the views of other people, the formation of the KPFA Foundation was in response to what was considered to be a real and perceived threat of Media Alliance stepping in and seizing the KPFA license in the event of bankruptcy. Now, what is happening right now at this moment is that whatever the background and whatever the circumstances, this KPFA Foundation is being offered to the LSB as a whole. Not to one or another faction of the LSB, but to the LSB as a whole, no matter how the next round of elections comes up. Now, this, I think, if you start thinking about it that way, that this foundation is a way for this LSB to attempt to hold on to the KPFA license in the event of organizational and financial catastrophe for Pacifica, then you may come around to thinking about it as a positive action. That is what Brian's motion is about. Now, if what you want to do in the process of doing that is to dig up all of the past conspiracies, it stands in the way of moving forward.
Brian.
Yeah, I just I want to kind of redirect the conversation to what's good for KPFA and what's good for the mission. The question to me is, you know, should we have a plan B? Should there be a plan B? And frankly, I agree with Jack. I mean, I heard a lot of people raise the concern, well, if there is a plan B, doesn't that make people want to pursue the dissolution of the network? I'm sitting across the table from someone who worked unpaid for the better part of a year as executive director of this foundation. Went from a $2.8 million deficit the year before she took that position to a slightly more than $1 million deficit when she took charge mid-year, to, over the last 10 months, a very small surplus for the network as a whole. I believe more than 10 lawsuits filed or threatened against the foundation negotiated into settlement payments for debt that we are now paying off. And despite all of that, it is still touch and go in the network because some of our stations seem to be locked into a downward spiral with dropping fund drive totals, which is something I know I worry about every day. there's a limited amount we can do from here about how the rest of the network is run, or about the people outside who seem to be intent on taking us down. And when people talk about trying to bring the network down, I just got to say, from where I sit, you got someone in charge of a nonprofit in Oakland who has relationships with FCC commissioners, who's organized in the past year and a half lawsuits against the foundation, coordinated complaints to the state attorneys general about the foundation, a blistering and often outright false public relations assault on the foundation that never says, here's what should happen to move it forward. It's always only, here's how I can tear down whatever's happening. And if you're not worried about that person trying to run us into the ground so that she can take control over the license, then I don't think you're being realistic. You're certainly not applying the same standard to her that you are to the other side of this board. So my question is, what is it good to have in place? 2 years ago when the foundation was bleeding money and a different crew was in charge, they led secret conversations about putting control of our New York station into the hands of an outside nonprofit. That conversation eventually became public, as these things do in Pacifica, but it's certainly not without precedent. Many of us objected to that on the grounds that we would like to keep the foundation together and have been working towards that end ever since. But the question is there a plan B if we can't succeed? I think there should be. And I think the productive conversation should be, what does that plan B look like, not should it exist?
Barbara.
Well, I my statement's brief. I'm going to vote for Brian's motion, but I'd like to object to people using the term that this was, who knew about this before it happened? Okay, a few people knew before it happened, but there were many of us who knew about it right after it happened because we read the description that Dan Siegel gave about what happened and what didn't happen and why. And you're forgetting that there was that. If you didn't read it, then I don't know.
What was it?
It was distributed widely.
When?
No, after, just recently when people started objecting to this.
I mean within the last couple weeks.
Yeah. No, in the last couple months. And I agree with Brian and Jack about the hovering possibility of someone who would like to do what this foundation's shell. It's not complete. It's not a nonprofit yet. It's has very little substance to it. Would try to take over the station, and I'm very much against that. And I'm very much in favor of the continuance of the Pacifica Foundation, as long as it's not rotting from the inside out.
Craig.
Am I on that list?
You're on the list. You're on the list. You're on the list. The list is Craig, Virginia, Frank, Andrea, Janet.
Well, I just want to speak in favor of the motion. I think if people are concerned about the existence of this foundation, this is a way for the board to take control of it. The articles of corporation can be altered, and you know there's no reason that can't happen. And this is an opportunity for the board to express its will and start taking control of this foundation. So I think it's an excellent opportunity for us to do that. I understand people's concern about maybe not knowing about this before. I think it's a very smart, prudent thing to have happened for all the reasons people have mentioned. But this is our opportunity to step in and start taking control of it. If, you know, if people are concerned about this foundation, you know, the shell out there, let's put our thumbprint on it.
Save the chair for a minute because I want to speak.
Oh, okay. Yes. So now the chair, Carol Travis, will speak.
I just wanted to say that I had been asked about this, about the existence of a foundation by Peter Frank about a year ago. I think it was about a year ago. And I said yes. It was never conceived of as a secret, and it was not something that was alive anymore. I mean, it has a shell, but it was not operational. Nobody was moving it forward. It has no bylaws. It has no officers. It's a shell. And I said, you know, when asked about it, I said yes. Anyway, Virginia.
Okay, this idea that somebody at Media Alliance has relations with FCC commissioners. Well, I assume you have relations with FCC commissioners too. I don't know what that means. lawsuits, people in Safe KPFA have probably filed more expensive lawsuits than anybody not in KPFA, including with the National Labor Relations Board, bogus suits that were thrown out. Coordination, okay. False public relations offenses about Pacifica. Okay, the whole Northern California thing about how Pacifica was, I just ran into another person the other day, hands off Pacifica, totally organized by Save KPFA and your side of the aisle here, trying to give Pacifica a really bad name, acting as if it's nothing but a vulture, trying to take everything else. In 2010, KPFA owed more money to Pacifica than any of the other stations have owed since then. So this idea that all the other stations are, in arrears and it hasn't gone the other way is not true. As far as disintegrating from the inside out goes, the building of KPFA, some of us have been begging to have things fixed there for many, many years. On the board, okay, I can't say me on the board because I wasn't on the board, but people that were on my side on the board tried to get that into the budget. It wasn't put in adequately to try and get things fixed there. So now I read a manager's report from May that says, you know, thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars needed for things that should have been put aside long ago. So if they're going to do this, why don't you call it the Lou Hill Foundation and have something in the proposal, maybe this is a substitute motion then, that says that it needs to be a dialogue that includes more than just, it isn't going to have Dan Siegel's office as the office of this place, and that it's an idea, it's not some kind of finished foundation, that it's the beginning of a dialogue about this, not the end result, and don't call it the KPFA Foundation.
All right. Was that a motion? Yes. What is it? What is the motion?
Call it the Lou Hill Foundation. Don't have this be some kind of finished filing. Have it be the beginning of a dialogue that is very open and inclusive.
You've got to write it. Is there a second? Is there a second? I'm going to move to somebody who hasn't spoken because I have the second people get to speak after people, and Goldmacher has not spoken.
Point of order.
Yes.
My point of order is that we temporarily stop this discussion, go to the budget and general manager's report, and resume the discussion after those items are completed.
All right. Actually, we had 10 minutes set aside for this. We have done 25 minutes on this. And as we all know, our major task is the budget. This we can do a procedural battle, or we can get a consensus of the group about whether or not that makes sense, because Virginia is working on writing her substitute motion. That would really take precedence on the floor, and people can ruminate about this as we deal with the budget and come back to it. It seems like a sensible idea. I would like to get a sense of whether or not how many people think that that's okay. If you would raise your hand if you think that's okay. Okay. To go to the budget.
Point
okay.
Point of information, can I?
We've got well over a majority on that question. So what is your point of information?
Well, I'm just wondering, so not only the budget, but there's other items. There's the executive session, and so I don't know how much time there would be to
okay,
come back
so
to this. Could we consider postponing this to the next meeting?
Why
postponing instead of tabling it?
All right, this is what I'm going to do, if everybody's agreeable. I'm going to move now to the budget discussion, and then we'll discuss whether or not we then, all right, what we have, looking at the budget, at the agenda with all the changes, is that we have really the general manager's report, the treasurer's report, the budget, which I think are going to smooch, which is a technical term, together, so that all of those would be next. And then we will visit whether or not we want to come back to this or we want to move on to other stuff. Is that agreeable?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Did you include the executive session in that?
Yes. So how many people are okay with that?
You already asked.
Well, I'm asking something different and with a clarification. So so none of you are okay with that? Okay, you're okay with that. Okay. All right, cool. All right, and David's okay with it. We're going to do that. Thank you. Okay, so now we're going to go to the general manager's report. That's what's on the agenda.
So there's no time.
Okay. Quincy.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's a
good
one.
They don't give a fuck.
Like I said earlier, the general manager's report is basically going to be talking about the budget that we just passed out. Of course, there's a lot of paperwork in front of you now, and I know a lot of you are going to dig into it. So we can basically hit the highlights for you. As you can see in the upper left-hand corner of the budget, you can see that we're in the black for around $47,000 as we begin this budget.
Which budget? Page one.
Yeah.
It's the long one.
The big
page
one.
Page one has no number on it, but it's a long one.
Yeah.
I believe it has.
It has been. It's the big one.
It's 15
we'll
pages.
Share. We'll share.
Cool. Thank you.
So, Madam Chair, I don't know if you want to give people time to look over the budget.
I think that you should just walk through the highlights. I mean, this isn't going to all be settled in one session.
Yeah, I understand.
So, let's start it that way, and we'll roll from here, and I'm sure we'll deal with it next meeting at least. So, okay.
Like I said, in the upper left-hand corner there, it says $47,169,000 is basically where we would begin and with this budget in the black. We also listed on the fund drive pages, as you will see, page number six is the fund drive page. And
do you mean page six or document six?
Document six. I'm sorry. That is the schedule of the fund drives for the upcoming year, and what we are assuming that we can bring in.
Point of information, or?
Point of information.
All right. I don't see totals for under the number of days of total of
from once. Is there?
Do you mind if maybe we just start with what is in the budget and as opposed to picking it apart one by one? Let me just go through. The long page is the budget itself. It's not numbered.
Projected budget, right? This is for next year.
For 2016. Okay, so that's number one, which is unnumbered. I'm sorry. And I do apologize for everything today. I have been sick for 2 weeks, so I know, boo-hoo, please. And I had to put my dog down, and I'm dealing with the carpets, and boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Okay. Number two is the cash flow. This is document, not page, documents. Number three is the assumptions page, and that's different than the assumptions page used to be. Things have changed here. It's another new template. Every year we seem to get a new template. Number four is a development page. I do not enter numbers into this. It is something that comes in. You put numbers in a certain place, and it flows through 14 different worksheets and so on. So number four is a development spreadsheet that calculates things internally. Number five is another one. It's also, so just so people can kind of get an idea, the very first line six of this, of number five, is the spring fund drive. And what happens is that you will see the majority of the amounts, the dollars come in May, then it trickles in June, July, August, September, and October. And that happens with every fund drive. So a lot of people, people sometimes get the assumption that we get all this money, big, you know, influx, yeah, one lump sum in 12 days or whatever. It doesn't happen that way. It actually happens over a whole year. But for the budget template has it over 5 months. Document number seven is the direct mail, and on the reverse side is the renewals, which is another form of us getting money. The direct mail is the letters that are sent out. The renewals are exactly what that is the renewals. Number eight, the audience does not have a copy of this. This doesn't have salaries, but it is our headcount report. And this is a confidential item, which I did not have time to stamp, so please keep number eight confidential.
Is there an eight sitting back there?
No.
No.
I collected them all.
Thank you.
And oops, did I? I think I may have accidentally given you guys a six and a nine are the same thing. Well, I think I made copies of the reverse side. Anyway, sorry about that. So that's basically.
So fun drive.
Yeah. I see. Yes. Oh, sorry. Okay, number six is the fund drive pledges. Those are the days of the fund drives. And I'll, for just the quick moment, I will give this back over to Quincy, and he could talk about the fund drives. We, you know, I don't know if you want to talk about it.
Well, one of the things that we've been trying to do, and we've done it successfully this year, because we were blessed with some legacy plan giving awards, helped us eliminate one of the drives, the summer drive. And so we're still trying to do that. So we're trying to keep one drive off a year, and the summer drive is always notoriously the worst one. So that's the one we're targeting to keep off if we can. This is the plan that we want to follow, but of course if things don't work out for some reason or another, we don't raise enough money, then we'll have to add an additional fund drive. Our plan is to not do additional fund drives. What we would like to do is come up with some special events that we could put on the air, like on our birthday, you know, because we raise around $40,000, $50,000 in one day. On that day, and maybe come up with another day like that, some sort of promotion like that, that we could also hit on people for just one day and not do these continuously long loops. I have to say that the reaction we got from the audience for this summer fun drive not being there was terrific. The best emails I've gotten since I've been there. And it was a lot of people were relieved with that. But also the people were relieved inside the building. It gave the programmers a chance to relax and take time out and gave us a chance to start really planning for the fun drive instead of just turning around remotely and just doing another one with no passion, no real good planning, and really coming up with new premiums and things like that. It's very essential for us to have that kind of time to do that kind of work. So we're going to try to do that again. We see success in shortening the fun drives. We seek success in the audience going along with us on this journey as we're talking to them about doing less days and being more impactful what we're doing. So we're hoping we can continue that that motivation, thus the shorter fun drive schedule.
What we have done with this sort of is I said we were kind of smooshing this together, the technical term. But there are other issues, I think, in the manager's report. And maybe we want to pull them out right now.
I have my homework assignments, if that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. And is that all right if we do that? As, you know, that we got a thing about the fund drives, and we've got the paper in hand. We can go back to deal with the other things in the manager's report and then come back to the budget with Maria and Barbara. Does that make sense to people?
Point of order?
No. Okay,
point of
Janet,
order?
Of course, yes.
So if the homework refers to what happened in the executive session, I don't think it's appropriate for open session.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about policies that exist, those are policies that exist. And there's nothing secret about that. I think that things become appropriate for the for an executive session if we're talking about individual people. So, I mean, maybe we can air a discussion about the policy and see if you are, you know, you still want to go into an executive session that will go in after.
I mean, these things were, this is the answers to your director inspections questions.
Right, but.
But they were already emailed to everybody, so.
Right, but there are individuals that I wanted to speak about, so.
Okay, well, let's do the policy stuff, and then we can have an executive session, but let's try and do as much publicly as we can. So why don't you discuss those your homework?
Well, that basically was my big homework assignment. So we're not going to discuss that, correct? And so,
well, you can discuss the because it's policy. It's a discussion of the policies and practice. No names.
Yeah, there's no names to be mentioned.
Right. Okay.
Oh, the examples. Okay, I see now. Okay. So can I just go through each of the six questions real quickly?
Sure.
Okay. The first question was why doesn't the GM require paid staff to submit time cards for regular work hours? My answer is historically, past KPFA GMs have never been required or found it necessary. During my brief GM training, I was informed that regular employees, that has an asterisk, who are paid a set budgeted amount of time are not required to submit time cards. The time cards have two asterisks next to it. If when they work extra approved hours, they must submit an approved time card. If the time card does not show an approval, it is because the business office was alerted ahead of time about the extra hours, i.e. a programmer slash producer fills in for a vacationing coworker. The asterisk next to regular employee, I wanted to give a definition of what that was. A regular employee has no end date and is from half-time to full-time. And time card, the two asterisks next to that, I wanted to explain that this practice has been in place well before Maria became business manager in 2009. But if the LSB finds this unsatisfactory, maybe the PNB and the ED can develop a network-wide systematic policy for GM oversight of all time cards. Question number two. Please explain the time card approval process. Time cards are approved by department heads with direct knowledge of the employees or occasional temp person's work hours. This process helps us verify that all the time approved has been actually worked. With regards to those who work extra hours during fund drives, the business office is already aware of those hours, i.e. programmers pitching with Democracy Now, or people who work in the subdirectors working extra hours. Vacation requests must show who is to fill in, therefore a time card is turned into the business office, already has a record of why the extra hours are being paid. Question number three. Explain the process by which temp OC positions...
Point of procedure, or can I ask about, or do we wait until the whole thing and then ask about all the different questions at one time?
I think it would be...
I'd like to get through it.
Okay. Let's get through it, and then what you can...
Explain the process by which temp slash occasional positions are filled. During the process of creating a mandated hiring structure for OACs, the management team took the liberty to comprise a temporary hiring process to avoid any confusion in the future. See the attachments, and here are the two attachments. I'll read from the KPFA hiring temporary hiring procedure. Description: temporary hires are defined as positions lasting no more than 4 months in duration. This system provides for temporary hiring as described in the examples below. One, short-term leave replacement for vacation or emergency situations. Two, recurring hires during fund drives, in parentheses, off-air coordinators. And number three, recurring seasonal hires for the crafts fair. Process: identify key responsibilities and related skill set required for staffing need in consultation with management. Two, ascertain the cost as determined by the operating budget for the temp positions needed as specified above. Three, contact potential candidates with the specific skills required, interview candidates, and conclude the hiring process. Question number four. Explain the criteria for who's qualified as a supervisor for approving time cards. The responsibility of approving time cards is delegated to co-directors or department heads. The program director delegates this to co-directors in the news department because they schedule and know when employees have fulfilled set hours. But the ultimate responsibility falls to management, so there is no conflict with union members approving other union members' time cards. Question number five, provide definitions for manager/management team. This is directly from the CWA union contract. Management has the right to hire, classify, assign, promote, demote, suspend, or discharge employees. The right to locate or relocate work assignments, safety regulation, codes of ethics and conduct, employment policies, shift and rest periods, and changes due to technological advances, and are not members of the union. Supervisors slash department heads. The person in charge of a whole operation.
So who manages that?
I won't mention a name. Can I skip that one too? The answer here is a person in charge of the whole operation, and I give a couple of examples. Director, a person from a group who leads a certain area. I won't give the example. How does the union employees recognize management? This is stated specifically in the union contract. CWA is the exclusive bargaining agent for all paid employees employed by KPFA&B in Berkeley, excluding the manager, assistant manager, development director, program director, operations manager, and bookkeeper slash business manager. That was the last question number six.
All right. Joy.
Thank you, Quincy.
First of all, your distinction in this last one about the difference between a manager and a supervisor if there's co-directors of a department who make decisions on work assignments, who evaluate people's performance and have suspended people from the air, does that not sound to you like management versus supervision?
It does sound like management instead of supervision.
Just questioning that. About the timesheets, I didn't see any indication of how people indicate when they're not at work. So there's a certain amount of vacation leave and sick leave that are afforded through the contract. So how is that? That wasn't mentioned. You don't have to do it now, but I'd like some determination, understanding of that. And finally, on the OAC hours, how is it determined how many people you're going to employ, and how are the hours determined?
Let me read the OAC selection process thing. Maybe there's some answers.
Not the process, the work. The work. Once you've selected the people, how is it determined how many you need and how they get the hours?
As far as I know, that is based on the schedules that those people give to the OAC people or the subs director. And it's based off of their availability.
And if one person is available at the same time as another person, who gets to decide who gets to work is what I'm asking you.
I would assume the director of that department.
Is there a fair hiring a fair determination? In other words, somebody comes to me and there's a list of people and someone says, I can work every single day. And the other person says, I can work every single day. So that person... Is the director just get to decide that, or is there some system of equality, equity, fairness, sharing, or something?
There is.
Okay. So I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. That's all
Maria,
I got to say.
Maria's got an answer for your question just before this one again. What was it?
It was about how you determine how many people to employ in that position.
Well, that's pretty much on an as-needed basis. I mean, we have so many hours of fund drive. We have so many. I mean, you know better than most, right? So you're asking a question I think you already know, regardless for the
no,
benefit,
I don't.
For the benefit of everybody. There are certain hours required in the fund drive. And, you know, you can only have one or maybe two, and two are required when it's the busiest times, early in the morning and maybe in the evening. And in terms of who, you know, is hired, if one person's available and the other person's available, it's also a matter of fairness. We try to share.
Okay.
I mean, I have seen the OAC schedule, and it is very fair. You can't, you know, say, oh, this person can only work 2 hours this time, 3 hours the next time, blah, blah, blah. You know, it has to be consistent for the sake
of the
group.
I just wanted to hear you say that. Thank you.
Of course.
It hasn't been, but you're saying it was.
I beg to differ, but all right. That's regardless.
And maybe we should have a longer conversation about this instead of taking up the time here, because I don't think you guys are understanding me.
And then in terms of the director, the co-directors from the news, for example, nothing that the – and I know this from personal experience for being there for 6.5 years – Neither one of the two co-directors make decisions to suspend somebody without having a consultation with the general manager.
Okay, that's different than what you said. They consult with the general manager. I'm saying...
I didn't say anything before that. What are you talking about?
They were saying that... Never mind. It's okay. We'll talk about it later because I'm not... He was saying that the general manager made the decision... But the idea of whether they should be suspended or not comes from
there's the
co-director.
And
there is one programmer who was suspended from the air, and the letter that he got was signed by these two people.
Okay.
So that's happened.
I do want to make one distinction about the general manager, the co-directors, and the supervisors, that the quote-unquote supervisors. They're really called – they should be technically called leads, okay? They lead a department. And the general manager has, what, there are 200 and some people. It is virtually impossible for him to know every ins and outs of every person, right?
So high management.
There's only three managers.
Wait a minute. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
And the dialogue.
The point is, there are really only three managers. Okay, or four. Four managers in our... Okay.
So. I think we concluded this part. Let's go to the next person. Okay. We've got Frank. What? No, Frank is next. Then Janet. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you were there also. So you'll after Frank.
I think mine's a different list. I raised my hand for this. Good.
Good. Don.
Yes. My first question about all of this is, Janet, what prompted you to pursue this whole line of inquiry to begin with? Were you suspicious of embezzlement? Were you suspicious of favoritism? Did you think that the new general manager didn't know how to manage? I mean, what was the, and you launched this at the end of last year, if I understand correctly, right? Would you like to answer what your motivation was? Because I find this a thorough waste of time of, the,
okay,
of this
wait a minute.
Local station
this is,
board.
This, okay, wait, it's, okay. That question hangs in the air.
So may I, personal privilege, may I just
ahead.
Respond? Just...
Brian, relax.
What I had been looking for in my director's inspection was to compare hours and time cards against the budget or against whatever, just to do an audit or whatever. And some things came up that from that. There was no other intention. And from my wanting to do what I described, I found some interesting things. So I had no intention when I went into the director's inspection for that.
Okay. Next is Janet.
Okay, so first of all, in question number two, it says time cards are approved by department heads with direct knowledge of the employees' work hours. And so what is the documentation for direct knowledge? What does that mean? That's one question.
Let me give you an example. I think that would maybe help. Say one of the board ops this morning, who had to report at 6 o'clock this morning to run the board, couldn't make it. Okay? They're not going to be able to come to work because they're sick. That person would contact Dev or, say, or Michael. They would notify someone else to come in and do that shift. That shift would be, then that time card would be filled out and approved by them because they know directly that there was a change in the schedule and someone else performed the duties, and then it would be signed and passed on to the business manager. So that's what I mean. Those kind of things right. happen all the time at our place, every day.
Right. Okay, so it sounds like it's verbal, and so somebody gets assigned to fill in, and I think documentation should be included as to why that happened, you know, like what. Anyway, I'm just, so.
Wait a minute. Everybody's going crazy. She gets to,
yes.
She didn't do 2 minutes. We had her wait till the end. We're going to let her do it. We're going to breathe. Maybe we'll take a break so everybody can not get jittery. Janet.
Okay, and item number 4, so the question for item number 4 was, okay, I'm sorry. So you say the ultimate responsibility for approving time cards never falls with management, and so there's never...
No, it doesn't say that at all. It says it does fall to management.
Right. So
the
there's never right. So I want to address this in executive session because of.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
All right.
Then,
so that
and
ends
then
that.
Question number 5. My question was: would the GM provide the definition of each of the titles listed above, including a list of employees and managers who hold such titles, and whether they are union members as well as who is part of his management team? So that part is not would not be for a public session. Was not part of your
yeah.
answer.
So no, I obviously I did miss that part about putting names, but I can run some off for you right now, real quick.
I don't think that's appropriate for
okay.
here.
Well,
right?
Or everybody
I
knows.
Know.
But I think everybody
knows
out,
who the managers are.
Who
the managers are.
No,
that's not
like it says here, the managers are not in the union.
Okay,
so
wait a
that
minute.
Makes
okay.
it quite,
I'm
yeah.
saying
okay.
for all the terms.
Okay, wait a minute.
It's
so you've asked for some definitions. We're
with
not going to ask you
yeah.
to answer that and give them now.
Right now.
What's your next question? And you're well over 3 minutes, but go ahead.
All right. I'll
One
stop
more question.
Here. I'll stop here.
Okay. Margie. Brian.
I just want to ask us to prioritize our time. I mean, I think these are reasonable questions to raise. There are also these same time cards and forms that we've been filling out at KPFA since before I started working there 12 years ago. These aren't the people who came up with them. If you have an HR background and have an idea for a better, clearer system that won't take more time to administer, then let's talk about what we should do instead of interrogating people for something they didn't set up. And I also think, you know, look at the financials that are in this budget.
Yeah. Okay.
For the past 10 months, we've been underspending our budget on pay. There's nothing to indicate that there's any problem with unapproved pay going out to people that's affecting the station's financial health. So we do have to create a financial plan for next year. Let's not run the clock out before we actually get to that conversation.
Okay. Well, no. All right, get your clarification, but I am not going to let this go,
no.
And then I want it, one at a time. Go ahead, we've got to get to the budget.
Point of clarification here is, first of all, is exactly right, what Brian said. We have been doing this forever and ever, and it seems to me, this is my personal opinion, that it seems to be kind of like a witch hunt. And in terms
no,
of
this,
okay,
this
inter-
is off. This is you're
okay,
not
okay.
Answered.
Okay, that's. But point of clarification in terms of what the determination or the reasoning behind all of this was, when you sat next to me and asked me where our HR files were, and I said without legal reason, without legal, if I was being told by a judge, I would show you the files. But until then, I would not show you anything. I asked you what you were looking for. I want to be clear about this. What you said is, when I see it, I will know it or
okay,
find it.
Okay, never mind. Okay, that's enough. That is enough. We're going to go into executive session. This is going to be some more time for this to talk about it then. Janet has demanded the executive session. We'll see where we are. We are now going to the budget. We're going back to the budget. So, budget. Is that Maria or Barbara? We're doing the budget. Okay, you two go back to the budget. We're back on the budget. No, we're not doing executive session. We're going back to the budget.
Okay.
So,
after all that fun. Okay, so let's just go to the big old meat and potatoes of the whole thing, and that's the long file. The actual budget itself. As always, and once again, for those who complain that, you know, it seems to change all the time, it does. It changes for me, too. I am not the one who supplied this template. So I had to deal with it, so deal with it. Anyway, okay, so the first lines 7 through 26 are all of the revenue. The listener support, as I stated before, those listener support comes from. Do you need one? I've got. Do you need more?
No, just keep going.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Okay. So listener support is comprised of monies that we receive from fund drives. It's comprised of renewals, mailings. No, I'm talking about listener support alone. So listener support alone comes in from, losing my train of thought here. Fund drives, renewals, mailings, people who give their money on a regular basis monthly, so on and so forth. The fund drives, if we have a fund drive in May, the money comes in May, June, July, August, September, all the way through. And we continue to count that money. Sometimes we get people who give money 2 years later because they found their reminder, and they send in the money. So thank you, and we put it in, and so on and so forth. Website income, which is number line 10, line 12, and line 13, those are all what we call unsolicited donations, meaning that people have already paid their complete pledges, and then they send in just some extra money, $10, $1,000, $10,000. And depending on how it comes in, depends on which line item it goes into. Corporate match is basically self-explanatory. You work for a corporation, Microsoft, numerous other ones, that you give $10, they'll match your $10 and send it directly to the station. Car donations, again, self-explanatory. Someone has a junker in their backyard and they, you know, give it, we get $500, $1,000, depending on the condition of the car. Community special events, those are, you know, lovingly known as the Bob Baldock events, which are all of the speakers that come in. And that is strictly the gross income that comes in. So from the door, from sales, from the bookstores, so on and so forth. Crafts fair income. You will only see two numbers in crafts fair income right now. I don't know if some of you know, but Janie Tree also has, I don't know if it's an LLC, I believe it's an LLC, but anyway, she has Janie Tree Presents. And she has been doing the crafts fair for KPFA for 25 years, employed by KPFA. She now has will be doing it through her events. We will no longer be paying any of the payroll that belongs, that is associated with the crafts fair, nor any of the expenses. We simply will be given whatever is made at the door. So there is no external expenses or anything, other than we will pay for the musicians that are at the event, and so which you'll see later on. But basically, that $50,000 is that's it. We get that $50,000. Grant income, no development director other than Quincy, who tries very hard to bring money in from other places. No development director, no grants income. CPB, that goes without saying. Everybody knows we don't have CPB money coming in at this moment. Miscellaneous income, we get money from the university for reimbursement for work studies. We get we have a couple of people who have, and I don't know the technicalities of it or the technical part of it either. They have rental space up at the tower. And that's the miscellaneous income that comes there. So basically, it comes down to $3,663,000. That's line 26, column O. That is our projected gross income. Columns P, Q, all the way through W are historical figures for you to make the comparison. Go ahead.
Jose Luis Fuentes here. You know, I having trouble looking at the historical numbers that show us at least 2.5 million. We're projecting we're going to have $2.9 million, $400,000 more this coming year than we
Excuse
have.
Excuse